When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, welcome to the West London Sport QPR podcast. It's just myself and Kevin this week with our usual guest options, either too traumatised to talk about QPR or afraid that any language they may use may not be suitable for a family audience. Right, so let's rip off this plaster and dive straight into Saturday's abysmal performance, Kev. It was pretty bleak stuff from the way the team was set up to a lack of an obvious game plan from the manager. And for me, most alarmingly, the lack of creativity and how easy it was for Coventry to win a game 3-0. But I mean, you and I are, you know, we're a similar vintage, and you've obviously played like 400 games for QPR. I watched hundreds more as a fan. I got my first season ticket in the late 80s, and I think between us, we've been racking our brains to think of a much worse time than this on a field, especially when we sat here going into Christmas in the top six after beating Preston, sort of, I think it was December the 17th. It's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really bad. I mean, I had a half-decent performance, and I weren't going over the top against about the West Brom performance. I thought it was okay because we got a point, and it was good because we were 2-0 down. But let's be fair, the goals we conceded were horrendous. But we showed a bit of fight to come back. I wouldn't go over the top about that. But it was a good point. But then to follow it up with that scoreline and that performance against Coventry, who are a decent team. Nothing absolutely brilliant, but a decent team. To follow that West Brom performance up and that point against Coventry and the performance to put in was very woeful. I was in the crowd. I was sitting with a couple of mates and their boys and my son. And obviously, when the third goal went in, there was a mass exodus. And I have to say, including me, I walked out after that goal. But the whole performance was just, considering we're in a relegation dogfight, was just really, really poor. And the players have to take some blame, but the manager has to take some of the blame with the way he set up the team and the way that we played and the way, you know, I mean, we'll go into it, but, you know, every time the ball goes out, Sini Dien kicks it long, he aims for Lyndon Dykes. And to be fair, Lyndon Dykes, he can win a flick on, but the man chasing it is probably, well, he's the oldest player in the QPR team, if I'm right. And he's not the quickest, and he's never been the quickest, and that's never been his role. Because I actually played with Chris Martin 15 years ago when he was a young lad at Luton, and he was never the quickest. But we're kicking it long to flick on for Chris Martin to chase down, and that's just not going to work. And centre halves must be thinking, well, you know, opposition centre halves must be thinking, This is, you know, I'm not Sinclair Armstrong's not chasing after it, who's got real pace. It's Chris Armstrong, because Chris Armstrong wants to get the ball into his chest and link play up, and he's chasing flick-ons. I think the whole, looking back, you know, we were well outnumbered in midfield. We played two in midfield. And I know you're not a big fan of Dazelle, and I haven't been either. And to play two centre midfielders against their three and just get totally overrun, yeah, there's a lot to be said about the starting 11 and the formation and the tactics.
I mean, for me, it's ludicrous that a manager would even think of playing two banks of four, 4-4-2 in the modern game. You see, you know, top coaches will have players, they're 4-4-2 when they're out of possession, that kind of thing, and fluid. But that was just a rigid 4-4-2 where you had like Ilias Chair on left wing, Albert Dunman right wing, and we're just going to launch crosses in the box because then the Dyke scored a header against West Brom, and that's what we're going to do. And you're looking at that and going, how have you gone from the Mark Warburton style of playing football to that in a year with the same players? I mean, what manager comes in? I mean, I look at the way that Luton Town play, and Luton Town had a very good season. They play a very direct way. They're very physical. It works for them and it's effective. Now, Rob Edwards has come in as coach. That isn't the style of football he plays, but he's embraced what the team is good at and hasn't changed anything. And they're playing that same way and where they are. You can't come in and just expect the team that's played a certain way just to kind of play a completely different way, because that's how the manager plays. You can't do that.
I think, you know, Gareth has gone back to his type and what he wants to do and what he played with at Wickham, but he hasn't adapted to the players and what style of football that produces their, which will produce the best results with the players he's got. I mean, Jimmy Dunn's playing right back at home in the must-win game against Coventry. I quite like Jimmy Dunn as an out-and-out centre-half, a blocker, a heading, sort of kick-it type, you know, sort of basic, great attitude. But he's playing right back. He's slinging balls into the box with his left foot to the back post for Ilias Chair to head in. It just doesn't add up.
Albert Adoma playing right back, isn't it?
Yeah. So Albert Adoma, you know, his legs have gone. He should be just be coming on for 15 minutes. You know, a bit of experience. He didn't go wrong. Didn't get past the left back once. Jake Bidwell, who was bang average for us 3 or 4 years ago, you know, he didn't go past him once. So we, you know, and then you got Ilias Chair, a very creative number 10 playing left midfield. He's patrolling up and down the left side. It's just so well out of sync. I don't know. I mean, I really hope, you know, for QPR to get the best chance of getting something out of the next few games is it goes back to what they're best at. And that is a 4-3-3 formation. I go back to the two midfield, Andre Dazelle, and I said it last week, Stefan Johansson hasn't got the legs to play in a two against a three. He never probably has. But put him in a three, get him on the ball, and he might pass the ball and make something happen. Got to play, you know, Norwich are a good footballing team. I know they had a bad result on Friday against Middlesbrough. But what they are they have an identity that they've kept for the last, 4 or 5 years, where they're very possession-based, midfield free, pass and move. And if we don't match them up in midfield, we could have a big problem.
And the thing is as well is that, I mean, that it annoyed me, actually. I didn't work on Saturday. I took my two children to the game, and well, my daughter is 9. She's got a season ticket, but hasn't been to a game for a while due to things she does on a Saturday and me working and what have you. And the last game she went to was a Swansea game. It was a 1-1 game. But QPR played quite well, created lots of chances and really threw away 2 points. And she said that she's 9 and doesn't know much about football at all, and said, "Daddy, why are we so rubbish now? Why don't we have shots on goal anymore?" And then for the manager to come out afterwards and say, "This team has no identity," that really, really cheesed me off, because we sat on this pod and said, under Mark Warburton, for the first time in a long time, QPR do have an identity. This is what they do. And for a manager to come out and say, "We haven't got an identity," which is basically him saying, like, "You're not playing how I want you to play." And it's no different to a manager coming in and saying, like, "I want the team that's bottom of Division 2 or League 2 to come in and play free-flowing football out the back, when you're in a relegation fight. It's no different to getting your players that are used to playing a certain way, a certain style, to then turn around and start lumping it long to a big man up top and playing the goalkeeper, just kicking it as far as he can and it being completely alien to what you've been doing for the last sort of 4 years. It makes no sense.
I mean, Ian, did Senny Dieng from a goal kick ever pass it out on Saturday?
No, he didn't roll it out at all, I don't think.
So we're hitting, we're basically playing hitting hope, long ball, and see what happens. You've actually got some talent, really. I know they ain't produced, but someone's got to get the arm round. Someone has to get their arm round Elias Chair. Someone has to get their arm round Chris Willock and say, hey, come on. Guys, you were like ripping it up at the start of the season. Even if you get back to three quarters or two thirds of the form that you were doing in August or September, you're better off. I mean, you know, Chris Willock's on the bench. He was our best player, pretty much.
And that's the thing. Everyone is fit now. There's no excuse. He's got everyone back. You know, I mean, his predecessor, Neil Critchley, didn't have a lot of the players that are now back available to him, and he lost his job. But QPR were about 8 points clear of the drop zone when Ainsworth took over. They've scored 6 goals, conceded 21, I think it is. And, you know, they're now like a point off the bottom three and don't look like they can buy a win. It's his 10th game tomorrow. And I think, you know, you judge a manager over that. But I mean, really, he's, you know, it's like the opposite to a managerial bounce. It's a kind of managerial kind of, you know, regression, isn't it? From what it was to what it is now. It's I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
No, I haven't. And I mean, when Gareth took over, I thought, you know, he'll get a couple of wins, 2 or 3 wins to keep us up. And I wasn't really that worried. But now I'm like, now it's sort of, you know, we're getting into panic stations. I'm, you know, panicking because, you know, you can lose games and you can be in the game and you can be close, but we're not close. And that's the worrying thing. We're not close.
They're just not creating any chances. Yeah.
Pardon?
You can have a game where you create 3 or 4 chances and sit there and go, well, he's got to score that or he's got to score that. We're not even at that stage.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we were talking about Lyndon Dykes at the start of the season. He could have like 8 or 9 goals before the World Cup break. He's missed absolute sitters here. But he ain't missing sitters because he ain't getting any chances. He ain't getting any service. He's flicking the ball on very well, but who cares? Who are you flicking the ball on to? You're better off holding it and linking the play than flicking on, because who are you flicking on to? I think like centre-halves for the opposition team argument, do you know what? He's good in the air. Let him flick it on and we'll pick up the seconds and we'll play from there.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you look at like Wigan, not a good team. Rotherham, not a good team. Blackpool, a terrible team. They beat him 6-1. And, you know, you could, Coventry on a bad side. It's not the end of the world losing a team like Coventry. I mean, really, Rangers beat Coventry twice last year. Both teams are much the same from last year. So there's been a regression there, but, you know, confidence, etc. So I accept losing to Coventry, but to lose like that and not lay a glove on them and not, you know, test the goalkeeper to, you know, to not have a shot on goal against Wigan, to do nothing. It's just, you know, it wasn't great under Critchley, but it was better than this. I mean, did they pull the trigger too early on him?
Well, you know, you just said that Critchley didn't have the players coming back that have come back now. So, I don't know. It's a very good question. Maybe. I mean, he didn't seem to sort of have the personality, you know, of a QPR manager. And we spoke about this months ago. And he dug him out. I think did he dig him out against the Fleetwood away, which was a poor performance. But when I look back, you know, Sheffield United, was it last minute goal? Swansea, you know, we were sort of in games and we were like close and we were nearly there. But now we're sort of, you know, like you said, we're not laying a glove. I think I remember Elias Chair had a free kick in the first half, keeper made a good save. And then we had a corner and Sam Field had a shot when it got headed out. So sort of two set plays, but never really created anything in general play on Saturday against Coventry. But what sort of worries me is in a relegation battle when it's basically a must-win game. And that's very worrying, the lack of creativity. And we'll go back to the Preston game, is very similar, home game, and the Birmingham one, which I thought was, the Birmingham game for me was a real eye-opener of, you know, because I thought Birmingham were a poor team. I really did. Mm-hmm. And they scored on their first attack, and then we've got our centre-forward throwing the ball into the box. And he's the only one who actually can win a header in the box, attacking-wise, and he's throwing it in or throwing it out into the stand. And I just thought, this ain't good.
I mean, you
can tell the players are not they're not suited. They don't know what they're doing. They don't want to do what they're trying to do. They want to go in it. And then tomorrow he needs to go try and go back to the identity which they've been playing for the last 3 years.
I mean, I put down the Birmingham game, the Preston game, and the Coventry game as three of the worst home performances that I can remember in many, many years. And it's all come in the last, well, nine games, three of the worst ever home performances I could, you know, for a long time. I mean, you know, we used to moan about Mark Warburton and his, you know, constant look after the ball and his, you know, I know fans were got a bit tired in the end of him saying the same things over and over again, but there was a method to what he was saying and what he wanted. You could see a style of play, a pattern of play. I don't know what that, I don't know what this manager wants. I generally don't. I can't see what, you know. Can you see what the game, could you see a game plan on Saturday?
Go back to that. You can lose 3-4-0 home or away. That can actually happen because all it takes is three or four real bad individual mistakes at the back and you lose. But the Birmingham game was just, they created half one chance. They didn't create anything. We didn't create anything. And like you said, these last three home games are like, what's going on? We're not stringing any passes together. We huffed and puffed against Coventry. We huffed and puffed for the first five, six, 7 minutes. I nudged my mate. I said, if we don't score in the next few minutes, if we don't score in the first 10 minutes, it's going to be curtains for us. Because we did. And you know what? What anyone says, the crowd, I thought, were really good at the start of the game. Really good. Good crowd, really good atmosphere, right behind the team. I thought they were excellent. And then when people say, I'm not getting behind the team and this, that's absolute nonsense. Because when the third goal went, there was a max episode. But what are the crowd meant to? I'll be on the pitch and I'll be giving it, well, I don't blame them. I'm in the stand and I'm saying, well, I don't blame them because I'm one of them. I don't blame them. But I thought the crowd were really good on Saturday at the start. Really got behind the team.
I agree. I think the crowd's been good. Yeah, I think the crowd's been good all season. I do. I've been in a lot of away games. Support has been good. There's, you know, but I mean, the Preston game may turned on the players a bit, but that didn't carry on against Coventry. And I just think there was almost like when they scored, they kept it up. The fans were still good. And then, but it just got flat, didn't it? It just sort of sat there. And I mean, even I didn't enjoy the football when Ian Holloway was manager. I didn't. It wasn't really. I didn't like it. But you're always in games, you know. That used to, you know, big Matt Smith would come on, but there'd at least be kind of have a go. There would be sort of the ball bobbling around the box and chances, and the crowd trying to get behind the team. And I mean, my season ticket is right when I'm not working is right in line with the penalty box, 18-yard box at the loft end. I've not seen a goal. We've not seen a goal down the end of the pitch. Nearly all season. There's no, I'm not saying it's all down to Ainsworth, but it's been remarkably worse. I mean, I've seen players hit the bar down the end of the pitch. I don't think I've seen a shot on goal from a kid when I've been sitting down there when he's a manager. I know, do you know what I mean? It's just, there's nothing. It's just flat. And, you know, and then it's all character and leadership. And I'm picking this team because they're good characters and that isn't the way that isn't for me. You can't be doing that. You pick your best players, surely.
Well, you can get so far with character and passion and this, but you need good players. And the best teams have characters who are good players as well. They're the best. They're the best players. But, you know, running and this, yeah, that's okay. But there's no point having the ball, giving it away every time, and then running after it and showing passion.
Mm.
Professional football players, you know, get the ball, keep the ball, create a chance if you're a winger or you're a number 10, as you're a striker. This is, I remember I was having a bad time. I had loads of bad times, you know, confidence a little bit wrecked. Ray Harford, who got a bit of a bad stick, said a really good thing to me. He said, Kevin, first thing you do, try and get two shots in the first 10 minutes. Get your confidence going. Just have a shot. And you're like, do you know what? You know, them little things in your head, yeah, that's, you know, whatever, just have a shot and see what happens. But, you know, as you said, this passion and running about, yeah, I think that should be a given. Everyone's a little bit different. Everyone shows a little bit more running than everyone, because some lads are more energetic, some lads are more fitter, and they can chase back, and that's more their game, especially midfielders. At the end of the day, you've got to create something, and you've got to be able to pass the ball, and you've got to be, if you're going forward, create chances or pass to the person who's going to create the chances. And then when you ain't got the ball, you've got to win it back, and you've got to keep it simple, but you've got to play to your strengths of your team, and you've got to get your best players on the pitch, and you've got to get your best players as confident as possible. And that's where, you know, your Neil Warnock's a genius, where he'll put his arm around the best player, Ariel Adele, and he'll treat him like a king. And then he gets going, and he's the best player. And he won't have anything bad about it, and let him do what he wants. That's genius management. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like normal, but that's what people do. Even Alex Ferguson did it. Never told off Eric Cantona, did he? All the things I ever heard from Man United, Eric Cantona could turn up in a pair of jeans when it was a Man United official do. If anyone else did it, they'd get fined. No, Eric, you can do what you want. You know, just managing. That's what my point in is, I'm trying to say, how can we get Willock back to playing now he was at the start of the season for the next, how many games? 4 games left. How can we get him anywhere near that standard? Because he could be the game changer to keep QPR up. And how do you do that at the club? Who's going to get him on side and get him playing and chair? Because at the start of the season, they were scoring goals. And I remember I was saying it in September, and I said, we cannot rely on Chris Willock and Ilias Chair keep scoring worldies every week.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's everything that Warnock did. I mean, you wouldn't say, you mentioned Adele, Trapped, and I mean, even Ali Forlan as well. I mean, you look at Warnock historically prior to being a QPR manager, you wouldn't say they're Neil Warnock type players, would you? But
no,
you identified
the difference,
you know, and instead of ostracizing guys, I mean, like Ethan Laird's a good player, his confidence looks a bit low at the moment. I mean, he can't be helped sitting there watching, you know, a right back playing in your position and struggling to keep the ball on the pitch, you know, and then that flows down to Jimmy Dunn. And I felt really sorry for Jimmy Dunn on Saturday. I like Jimmy Dunn. I think he's a very solid, honest player. Good lads. You know, he's had a tough season. His confidence probably isn't the best. And you put him out on an island at right back. And you can see he's trying so hard. In the end, he was just putting the ball into the stand. He couldn't pass from A to B. You know, that isn't going to do him any good at all, is it? And, like, you know, he talks about, you know, putting his arm around players and making them feel empowered and better and that. You know, that can cause more damage than worth, playing a player out of position in a role like that in front of a home crowd on the touchline. You know,
I mean, if anyone should be playing right back at a centre-half, Jimmy Dunn and Rob Dickey, you'd probably say Rob Dickey, because he's actually better on the ball than Jimmy Dunn. I mean, mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. It's not rocket science. Rob Dickey's a better passer of the ball than Jimmy Dunn. I'm not saying he's a better player, but he's a better passer. And when you're playing right back, you end up having a lot of the ball and you have to pass it to create something. I mean, like you said about Ethan Laird, it's a Man United player. He's like, he's on the bench, and Jimmy Dunne, who's a big stopper of a centre half, is playing in front of him. He's probably thinking, wow, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But interesting, I mean, be interesting to see what the formation and the team selection is tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's all, are you saying yesterday that Jake Clark sort of likes to be back? I mean, to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if he put him at left back and played a back four full of centre backs.
Well, that's what I think he'll do as well. If Jake Clark sort was there, I think, well, Balogun's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I would say it could be Laird, Dunne, Dickey, Jake Clark sort. If he's fit, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a moment, you know, what said everything for me really was that the ball in the air, Rob Dickey went to attack it, and it was kind of upper chest height. And normally Rob Dickey would attack that with his chest, ball to feet, and drive it out the fence. And he approached it, and he didn't know what to do. And it was a case of, do I bring this down and play it, or I just get it down the field? And he sort of did neither and booted it off for throwing. And it's that mindset of, like, you can see players on the pitch, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I don't know what.
Yeah.
What does he want from me? What, you know, and that's, for me, that's criminal from a manager, really. If you want to get your message over.
It's going to be difficult now, because if tomorrow night Gareth says, okay, we're going to roll it out now, and then it's like, wow, we've been going long every goal kick. We've been, every time the ball comes to us, we'll be just clearing our lines. We've been heading it. Now he wants us to control the ball, pass it out from the back. I can't see it, to be honest. I can't see him doing that, changing the style of football tomorrow. I think he'll go with what he thinks is his style of play and what he knows is his default style of play, and that is go a bit longer, but got to play a 4-3-3, got to play, if Tim's available, you got to play a four back, you got to play, if everyone was fit, I would play Tim, Stefan Johansson, I'd put Field, like he used to do when he played under Warburton, standing in front of the two centre-halves and being solid. Got a bit of legs in there with Tim. You got a bit of passing with Stefan. He can't play in the two anymore. And then you got to play Willock, Chair, and Dykes up front and try and get the ball into their feet.
Yeah.
And tell Dykes, look, stop flicking the ball on. You got to get it. You got to knock it down. You got to get your two number 10s in the game. I mean, that would be me. That would be what I would do to try and win the game. Because, you know, getting Dykes flicking it on to Chris Martin, that's just
nonsense.
That's just easy. That's just food and drink to a centre half. Just eat that up.
Because, I mean, I could live with the change of style, well, if it was working, but also, you know, just be really pragmatic and just pack the midfield. I know that team, when I was writing about it in the piece of the programme tomorrow, actually, the Jamie Pollock goal. But I know that season, it was almost a similar season, similar. The way it panned out was almost similar to this season, where it sort of started well, but there's a very talented squad, you know, yourself, Nigel Kwasi, David Barsley, Danny Maddox, these types of players. And then you almost sort of drew your way to safety, didn't you?
We was always in games and we weren't getting battered. It was just, obviously, confident. When you're in there, and it's a nervous thing as well. There's a lot of nerves. There's a lot of panic and you're desperate. But we had some good players. Like you said, Sharon, I was up front with Shares. Good player. Didn't really work out for him at Cuba, but he was a good player. David Barsley came back in after his injury. Danny Maddox was there, Nigel Kwasi. You know, brought in Vinnie Jones and Neil Ruddock and stuff like that. But we never got battered. We never lost games like that. We never went to Blackpool, lost 6-1, or we never threw it in. We never got battered by at home to Coventry, who were all right, a decent team. Got a really good centre forward for the division. But other than that, they're not. They've got some good players, but they're not, you know, they're not Man City, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, It's going to be nervy tomorrow. Very nervy. The crowd will be nervy, obviously. And if you go a goal down, it's just tough, isn't it?
Mm.
I do think they've got to pack the midfield and, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I think, I mean, it just shows, really, when these two sides last met, it was a Sky game and 0-0 was quite a good game, actually, a 0-0 draw. I think Don Goodman was on the Sky commentary. Don Goodman never says anything nice about QPR on Sky. And his words were, it's a good game. And he gave Tim Robin a man of the match and said, well, these are two sides that are going to be up there at the end of the season.
And you know what? I believed him.
Because Rangers did all right. They're a good side. Yeah. They've got the biggest budget in the division. They've got, they've massively underachieved this season. They come on the back of a 5-1 defeat in their last game. But it's going to be very hard for QPR tomorrow. I really do worry tomorrow. I do think that, where they are, they're still pushing for the playoffs. The squad they've got, Rangers never, the reasons in my head, I don't know if it's true or not, but Norwich always seem to beat QPR.
And a good team and a good footballing team. And if you don't match them up, then sometimes, I always thought that QPR, when they get overpowered, they sort of struggle a little bit. And I didn't really think, maybe a little bit with Goycalo up front, they got overpowered and he's a good runner and he ran the channels and I thought it was a big difference between the two teams. But I think every game's now a must win, isn't it? So, you've got to win the games and then you've got Burnley on Saturday and, you're playing against a team that might be champions and the pressure's right off. And sometimes that is more difficult when they've got nothing to really play for. I remember playing against Nottingham Forest, I think it was 2005, and we were like mid-table and we played Nottingham Forest and they had to beat us at home. So I think it was our last home game of the season and we actually battered them. And they were desperate. We sent them down and they were desperate to win.
Yeah.
And we were like mid-table and it was like one of the easiest games I've ever played in.
Mm.
I was playing midfield and it's like, I think they were so nervous, they just absolutely bottled it. And we had no nerves and we were just playing like it was nothing on it for us. And we battered them. It was easy. So that's a bit of a worry as well. So when people say, nothing to play for, sometimes it can work the other way.
Yeah. 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 But it's, as I say, Norwich, they got some very, very good players for this division. You're playing the next two games against two sides that have come down from the Premier League last year. One's obviously going straight back up. Big squads, big budgets. Wagner's a good manager at this level. It's going to be tough for QPR tomorrow. I do worry. I mean, how do you see it going?
Well, I'm going to be my optimistic best as usual, Ian. I'll take a draw right now.
Mm.
I'll take a draw.
Yeah, I mean the law averages. You've got to win up.
And I'm like, I've said this at least few times. My mum said to me, how do you think QPR will get on? And I went, you never know, mum, but I won't be surprised if they lose. When reality sort of, because I'm when you're a fan, you're optimistic and you're hopeful and you want them to win. But then when they lose, I'm like, well, yeah, of course they did against Coventry. Why wouldn't they when they play like that and they set up like that? But I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. I mean, I am the eternal optimist. My friends say I'm too positive sometimes that, I always think QPR are going to win or fancy to win and I don't fancy them here. I'm really worried now about what the future holds. I'm very worried. I remember going down to League One last time, but there were mitigating circumstances about that. The club was in grave financial problems. The club's not in grave financial problems now. They've not been docked points. They're not under a transfer embargo. They've not got owners who are leveraging money out of the club. They were in the top six at Christmas. I look at it and say, I think if Rangers get relegated, I think it will be one of the biggest disgraces in English football history, honestly, to be where you were at Christmas, to be where you are now. And, you know, it's a discussion for another time, but, you know, hopefully they get something tomorrow, but I just don't see it, to be honest. And I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned. And all I can see is crisis ahead. That's where I am. And, you know, the new manager doesn't enthuse me at all. I don't think he's good enough for the job, to be honest. So on that cheery note,
see you soon.
I'm gonna go for a 2-0 defeat.
Oh God, we'll see.
So hope springs eternal.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, Kev. It's been quite cathartic.
I know, for everyone watching it, sorry. Can't lie to you.
All right, thanks very much, see you soon.
Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.